Okay, yeah, that's right. So they just got the first shot?
Yeah.
Those are now in the Salat al-Kafur, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى ما بعد وقد قال الله تعالى بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اذكروا نعمه الله عليكم اذ جاءكم من فوقكم ومن اسفل منكم اذ زاغت الابصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر وتظنون بالله الظنون هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا زدنا علما يا رب العالمين Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm very happy to be back, mashallah. I just wish I was in a better health to actually enjoy everyone's company. Please make dua for shifa for everyone, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala continue to bless everyone in the iman and taqwa. I wanted to finish this up before the end of the year, because Allah knows what happened next year. So that's why we have this battle of Khandaq. I think you've heard Christmas bayan by me many times already. I don't think you need another Christmas bayan telling us not jayz. Okay. If you need it again, let me know. Inshallah, we can do it Monday, inshallah. No problem. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. I wanted to really finish up this story because this story is a very important story. It's something that we all can really relate to if you understand the meanings of the story, which is the story of the Battle of Khandaq. Last time we were together, just to give everyone a reminder, is that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam receives word that an army of about 10,000 or so of the Quraysh and Ghatfan, basically one of the Jewish leaders from Medina, makes a plan and says, I have to get rid of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And so he makes a plan, he brings together a delegation, and they go out and they get together as many people as they can from Quraysh and etc. groups, from Ghatfan, etc. And they bring them all together. He gets together about 10,000 soldiers. This is the largest army it's ever seen. Right, something that's so unprecedented to the point that they have no way, Medina has no way of defending itself at that time. It's all, you know, with that many people, like we mentioned before, they're easy to be able to kill the entire community of Medina, men, women, and children, everything. And that's what their plan was, to eliminate the Muslims completely. In that time, the Prophet ﷺ makes mashwara. He consults the Sahaba, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. He tells them that, you know, he says, the Master of Allah in our time, that when the battle was very difficult, we would takhandaqna, we would create a khandaq, a trench. So if we were to create a big enough trench, they couldn't jump over with their horses, and any soldiers would try to cross through, we'd just shoot them with the arrows. And so this was a very genius plan from Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu. And thereafter, the building of the trench happened, mashallah, that we discussed before. In about a matter of short time, about 6 days, mashallah, the Muslims are able to construct a beautiful trench that's so large enough that no one's able to cross over. Exactly how the Nabi ﷺ wanted it. And we talked about how difficult it was in preparation of the Khandaq. If you remember, the trench wasn't easy to build. They had to go through hunger, cold, the coldness of winter, and all these other things, to the point that we talked about how the Nabi ﷺ would have da'wats. Remember, we talked about Jabir inviting the Prophet ﷺ. And then he said, just bring a couple of people. The Prophet invites all the soldiers at that time, 300 people go, and they all are fed by the barakah of the Prophet ﷺ. And then we talked about other miracles. The Prophet ﷺ within the trench, he's able to break this huge boulder. And he told them that I see from the sparks of this boulder, I see the palaces of Rome, the palaces of Syria, the palaces of Persia, all being conquered, mashallah. The Prophet was telling all these things to Sahaba at that time. You know, it's an amazing thing, those 6 days within that trench. There's such nur in that time. Having said that, as soon as they finish building it, subhanAllah, Quraysh and everyone comes forward. 10,000 soldiers are ready to fight. But then they see, they're very frustrated because the Arabs were used to fighting open land. What do they see? There's a huge barrier between us and the city now. We can't even get in anymore. So they ended up calling them cowards. How dare you fight us like this? This is some treachery. And so they tried their best to go over it, but they can't do it. So then they start firing arrows. For the next week, 2 weeks go, and they're just shooting arrows at one another, firing from back and forth from there. And it's a very difficult time, but again, alhamdulillah, that's manageable, right? The Prophet ﷺ, he left all the women and children all the way in the back of Medina. We talked about this before, that they came in from the top of Medina, from the right of Medina, left of Medina, there are lava tracks. So there's no way for you to come to the right or left. And from the back, you have date palms protecting from the rear of the city. And there's only one spot, which is where Banu Qurayza, one Jewish tribe, is there. And the Prophet ﷺ had a treaty with them and said that you have to take care of us. You promised us that if anyone attacks us in Medina, you'll help defend it. And so the Prophet ﷺ told Banu Qurayza that you have to defend it there. So the Prophet ﷺ left all the women and children in one of the lowest places in Medina that no one could get to. And so the Jewish tribes are there. And the Prophet ﷺ was hoping that they would defend and they would protect. Huyay ibn Akhtab, the same guy who went up and called Quraysh and everyone together, he's the same guy who goes down to the Jewish tribe down there, Banu Qurayza. And he says that he tells the leader, Ka'b ibn Asad, he says, Ka'b, he says, let me tell you something very important. He says, you should break your deal with this Muhammad. Who is this man? He's a nobody. We're going to finish him and everything like that. You need to break your deal. Ka'b was like, you're a crazy guy. You're a pagal. Your pagaliyat is like over 9,000. It's not going to work here. It's like too bad, you know? So he said that you need to get out of my face because Muhammad has always fulfilled his promises. He's a good person. Banu Qurayza, they legitimately in the beginning did not want to take this treaty, break this treaty. And then Huyay said that, no, I promise you if anything goes wrong, I will come into your fortresses and I'll die with you. He's like, that's how much I will promise this. And he kept talking and talking and talking, promising whatever. Reji Ka'b says, okay, fine. You know what? We'll break our treaty with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now at that moment, the Prophet receives word. Right? And this is when the chaos starts happening. Right? So we talked about last time. The chaos was what? Ija'ukum min fawqikum, when they came from above you. When asfala minkum, they came from below you. Wa izaqatil absar, and when you started to think that the Jewish tribes are near our women and children and they can do whatever they want with them. That fear that a person, a soldier on the battlefield will feel, that it came from above you, came from below you. The eyes can't even look straight anymore. And the hearts reach the throats. At that moment, you started thinking terrible things about Allah. This is a difficult time. And this is why I want everyone to relate to this fact, because sometimes in life, we go through this too. Many things in life will try us. Try us to such a degree that you feel like above and below, left and right, there's no place to look anymore, no place to turn. And at those moments, we get nervous and worried. Right? In those moments, we get scared. In those moments, we get terrified. But who is there watching us and protecting us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the thing about the Khandaq, is that the Prophet ﷺ did not lose hope at all. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the true Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, even though the munafiqeen were saying that this Muhammad has lied to us and he's betrayed us and we're all going to die now and everything's going to happen, the true Sahaba were looking at these things. Remember, I told you all that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you know what, I can make a deal with Ghatfan. I can't talk to Quraysh because these guys hated us from the first place. I can't talk to the Jewish tribes because they broke the treaty. But the third tribe, Ghatfan, the extra people that came, the mercenaries, they're only coming for money anyways. And if, you know, if the Jews promised the money, we also have money that we can give. So he actually goes to Ghatfan and he makes a deal with them and says that I will give you 1/3 of Medina's produce. Medina's produce, huge amounts of date palm and whatever they can give. He says 1/3 of it for you all if you will just leave. And Ghatfan was trying to bribe with they're trying to haggle. And they said, no, we'll take 1/2. The Prophet said, no, stop it, 1/3. And they went back and forth like us, mashallah, Desi community, mashallah. We always go back and forth. No, this taka. It's like, what the heck? Is a rickshaw driver just carrying the damn money, you know? La ilaha illallah. People are fighting over literally pennies. It makes me so sad. You gave him 100 taka, you make this guy's life, he'll make dua for you. You know, subhanAllah. Allah give us understanding. It's $1 for us, right? Imagine you had an Uber for $1. Allahu Akbar, right? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And this guy works harder than these people, man. Allah musta'an. So in any case, Ghatfan says, okay, we agree to the 1/3. He goes back. The Prophet says, I also have to make mashwara with the Sahaba before I agree to the decision. The Prophet goes to the Sahaba. He goes to the Ansar and the Muhajireen. And he goes to a man named Sa'd bin Mu'adh, Sa'd bin Ubadah, the leaders of the Aus and Khazraj tribes. And the Prophet said, this is my deal. Because look, we can't do this right now. The Munafiqeen are in us. They're talking about these things. Up there, we have 10,000 people. Below us, we have this money thing. We can't handle all of this right now. The Prophet says it to legitimate the Sahaba. He says, if we give them this deal, we'll be able to manage and be able to fight them properly. And so Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, oh, Messenger of Allah, is this coming down from Allah? Or is this something you're doing out of love for us? And then the Prophet says, only out of love for you, I'm doing this. And then the Prophet, then Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to tell you something then. This is my opinion. He says that before, in the times of Jahiliyyah, before we had Islam, these people would not even touch any of our date palms. Because of what? They will only come as guests to us. They would never even dare to steal a single date from us. Oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you're telling us after Islam, we're willingly going to give them our produce? Oh, Messenger of Allah, Islam will not disgrace us like that. Ya Rasulullah, we'll stay here and we'll fight. We'll do whatever you want. But we'll not let them touch this type of deal or treaty. The Prophet says, when he hears this from the Sahaba, he becomes so happy. He tells Ghatfan, he says, forget it. The Sahaba, Allah that reveals an ayah of the Quran. When the Ahzab came, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala says when they saw the groups coming to attack, and they heard that they're from behind, they heard the munafiqeen, everything. They said, this is what Allah's Messenger promised. Allah's Messenger spoke the truth. What did Allah Ta'ala tell you in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala tells you in the Quran, Alam hasibatum an tadkhulul jannah wa lam ya'tikum mathalul ladhina khalaw min qablikum. Did you really think you were going to enter Jannah and then it didn't happen to you what happened to the people before you? You think you were going to enter Jannah and it was going to be easy, easy, lemon squeezy, that nothing's going to happen to you? Allah Ta'ala said, no. Allah said, what? That you're going to be tested like the people before you. Masatumul ba'sa, difficulties. What the raw hardships afflicted them. Hatta qala rasul walladhina amanu ma'a. Until the messenger of the time said, mata nasrullah, when's the help going to come? This is what we're talking about. People often get worried. They say, Ya Allah, I'm getting tested. I said, mashallah, shabash. You are so close to Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala said, it's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah Ta'ala tests those who are the amsal fal amsal. He's just the best of the best. If you could not lift those weights, Allah would not give you those weights. If you cannot handle the test, Allah will not give you the test. The fact that you can Allah gave you the test shows how great you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are so close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People often make dua and say, Ya Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus. But you don't want to go through the same trials in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet sallallahu went through difficulties. And so certain times we make this dua, Ya Allah, give us that beautiful place in jannatul firdaus. When Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, here's a trial. You'll take it and you'll pass it with sabr. You'll thank Allah through these trials. Sometimes it'll be what? You lose wealth. Sometimes you lose health. Sometimes you lose family members. Sometimes you lose the worst, which is losing children. It's what would you find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a beautiful hadith. The hadith of Samratul Fuad. Imam Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala writes a book. That book is about the hardest trial that Allah will ever put onto a servant, put onto a slave. What is that trial? Imam Suyuti, he says, it is the loss of a child. So the hardest thing that a person could ever receive in the world is about losing the child that you were looking up to. You're expecting him, mashallah, to go to Harvard, mashallah. You're expecting him to become the one that will provide for you. You're expecting this and this and this and this. And then what happens? Allah Ta'ala takes him away. Imagine how difficult that is. So the hadith of the Prophet says about this. The Prophet says that Allah Ta'ala, when he takes the soul of his, of the son of his beloved, and then Allah Ta'ala sends out angels and says to record his reply and bring it back to me. And so then the angels go down and they bring it back. And Allah Ta'ala says, did you take the soul of such and such a son? And they said, yes, Ya Allah, we did take it. Then the angel, the Allah Ta'ala says, okay, did you take the fruit of his heart? Samratul Fu'ad. Did you take the fruit of his heart? And then the person said, the angel said, yes, Allah, we took that fruit. And then Allah Ta'ala says, what did my servant say? He said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin." He said, "All we belong to Allah and to Allah we return. And Allah, I thank you for those days that you gave me with my son. I thank you for those days you gave me with my daughter." Imagine that. And Allah protect all of us from it. Ameen, Ya Allah, that you lose that child that you love so much. You know, so much pain you have, subhanAllah. They're in Bangladesh, you think about them in Massachusetts, you know, it's just how it is. No matter how, you know, that love that you have, mother and father, people think that fathers have no love for their kids. But subhanAllah, the father is literally keeping the house up. You know, the house doesn't stay up without him, subhanAllah. How much he cares about his kids? He can't even spend time like he wants to spend time with his kids. You know, subhanAllah, and if he were to lose this, how much difficulty did he go through? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah Ta'ala says, okay, he said these words, oh my angels, go to Jannah right now. And in Jannah, I want you all to construct a house and call it Baytul Hamd. Call it the house of praiseworthiness, the praiseworthy house. A house that people of Jannah will say, wow, alhamdulillah, this is an amazing house. And then I want you to put him and his children in that house. This is what Allah Ta'ala gives to such people. Difficulties come. And so the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we agreed and we said, we're going to go through with this. But we need a dua, Ya Rasulullah. Our hearts have reached our throats. We're so worried right now. Ya Rasulullah, give us a dua. So the Prophet said, Allah mastur awatina wa aminu awatina. Say this dua. Oh Allah, conceal for us our faults and calm our anxieties, calm our difficulties. Because if you can just say, Allah, if you can cool down our hearts, you can keep everything fine, everything will be okay. So they read this dua. The Prophet, he stands up in salah because look, at this moment, there's no one else for you except for Allah. These are the moments that you have to connect to Allah. People sometimes, they take trials from Allah like donkeys. You know what it is like a donkey? You slap a donkey 50 times, he still doesn't know. I don't know what you're trying to do for me. He's getting hit like 50 times. And subhanAllah, the boxer at least knows, I got to go down. Shoot, I'm getting hit. Like, I don't have a rocky chin. You know what I'm saying? You got to go. You know, like, subhanAllah, at least you should understand if Allah's giving me a trial, maybe I'm supposed to go make salah. Maybe, just maybe. So the Prophet begins his salah, makes his dua. Allahumma munzil al-kitab, mujir al-sahab, sari al-hisab, Allahumma zimhum, wazanzimhum. Allah, the Nabi says, makes dua. He says, Ya Allah, the one who sent down the book, the one who moves the clouds, Allah, the one who's so quick in his reckoning. Ya Allah, you defeat them. Forget it. I'm not trying anymore. I can't do anymore. There's nothing else I can do, Ya Allah. You defeat them. Ya Allah, you take care of them. You bring an earthquake upon them. You shake them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Nabi Sallallahu makes this dua. A man, mashallah, Nabi Sallallahu he lies down and he gets up immediately. And he says, oh Sahaba, the help of Allah that has come. A man named Nu'aym walks in at that moment. Nu'aym, mashallah. He's a well-known brother from Ghatfan, from the same tribe, the mercenary tribe we talked about. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have accepted Islam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have accepted Islam. And I want you to know that I'm here with you. I'm on your side. The Prophet said, this is great, but you're only one guy. We're not going to really get benefit from you if you stand on the lines here. What we need you is, I want you to go back and see whatever you can to cause them a little bit of chaos. You know, al-harbu khida'a, right? War is a bit of deception here. Go back and do something so that way the tribes get a little confused. Nu'aym said, you can count on me, O Messenger of Allah. So then what does he do? He goes to the Jewish tribe of Banu Qurayza first. Immediately, he sets up, ala fawrihim. Immediately, he goes off. He goes to Banu Qurayza and he goes to them and says, you know, he says, wuddi lakum. He says, hada wuddi lakum. Wa antum khasatu lana. You know, he says that, you know, my love is for you and you are so special to me. Banu Qurayza, I have something very important to tell you. He said, what is it? He says, I need you to understand this. You have to trust me. He said, yeah, we trust you. Whatever you say, you always want it good for us. He said, here, I want to be real with you. That look, Quraysh came from Makkah. Banu Ghatfan came from all over. Okay, you're actually here in Makkah, in Medina. If everything fails, who's going to get in trouble? You are. You're in the worst position. You need some protection here. So he said, I need you and you need to understand this, that you should ask the Quraysh, at least give us 20 of your soldiers that you'll stay with us. Give us 20 of your soldiers to stay with us. So that way we know that you won't back out. You won't do anything. They said, Banu Qurayza says, mashallah, this is such a good idea. Yeah, we'll do it exactly what you said. So then he, you know, they said 20 soldiers, we'll ask Quraysh to bring it. So what did they do next? Nu'aym goes to Quraysh. And he goes and says, Ada wuddi lakum. You know, he says, my love is only for you. And you're so special to me, O Quraysh. I have something very important to tell you. You have to take my advice. They said, oh, of course, Nu'aym, you're such an important person. So loving to us, mashallah. Please let us know. He said, I have to tell you something. The Yahud, I think they're going to back out. So I'm warning you right now. I think they're going to ask for hostages. He told them as protection. And he told them as hostages. He says, I think they're going to ask for like some people. You have to be careful. They're going to take these people and hold them against you. And then what they're going to do? When Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he defeats you, if he were to defeat you, they'll hold them as ransom. And say, oh, Master of Allah, save us and keep us alive. We'll give you these 20. And so he goes to the Quraysh and tells them this. He goes to there and tells them this. Quraysh said, this is such a good opinion. We'll hold on to it. We'll hold it dearly. MashaAllah, what's his third trip? Ghatfan. He goes to the Ghatfan, says the same exact thing. He said, hada wuddi lakum, my love is for you. Khasatun lakum, I'm special for you. Everything, same exact thing. What does he find next? Saturday night, the message comes from Quraysh because they've been fighting for about 18 days of just shooting arrows. They didn't plan for this. No one planned for this. What was their plan in the beginning? 10,000 soldiers come in, kill everyone. We'll be done. We'll come back home for iftar time. You know, this is what they were thinking. Finish everything real quick. And what are they doing? They've been here for 18 long days. They're tired and exhausted. Saturday comes in. Saturday night, they write a message to the Jews and said that, please, can you all fight? Because we're tired now. Our horses are exhausted. Our camel, everyone's exhausted. You take up the arms and you fight against Muhammad. So, right, you fight against him. So the message comes to the Jews at this time. It's Saturday night. So what are they doing? It's Sabbath, right? The Shabbat, right, that they have. So then they write back and saying, it's Saturday anyways. We're not going to fight. But in any case, we're not very, you said, we're not very confident in that you will stay. So if you can just give us some of your men to be with us as protection. So now Quraysh go to Nu'aym and said, Nu'aym, is exactly what you said. That these Jews want some of people from here. So then immediately they cut their ties with Banu Qurayza. Said, no, we can't work with these people anymore. They cut it completely with them. This is how Allah handles the lower part. Now how did Allah handle the upper part? How's Allah to handle the upper part? It says what? إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. At this moment, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu wake up, it's a dark night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah has sent such chaotic and terrible winds. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were saying, Ya Rasulullah, what are you talking about? When they woke up, they're inside Medina, right? It's the blessed city of Medina, mashallah. Medina's Medina, right? So they come up and they see everything's fine. It's a winter night. It's cold, but it's not too cold. And then they look past the trench. What do they see? Just looking past the trench, what do they see? They see winds going like, they said it was howling like thunderbolts. Wind was flying left and right. Sand was coming up from above, from below, from everywhere that they find wind is moving, sand is moving. Their pots have all turned over. The horses are restless. The tents have completely ripped off because of the fact that the winds are so strong. Devastating winds have come onto the other side. And everyone is panicking. Everyone is nervous. People are thinking they're going to die from these winds. But there are winds of Aad at that time have come down in the time of the Prophet ﷺ against Quraysh. Such terrifying time that these people were trying to bring their family and say, please save me, save me. They're all terrified. And look at this side over there. And look at this side over here. In Medina, mashallah, everything's calm. Sahaba are they all looking at this and they're amazed. They're like, Allahu Akbar. Allah can do. Allah can do. Allah can do. At this moment, they see this and then the Nabi alayhi salam was so happy and elated. He tells all the Sahaba, Allah to send down winds against these people. They will not stay for any much longer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he needed someone to get the information to verify what they're going to do, the Quraysh at this moment, because the winds came down and they're all exhausted and tired. Day number 20, it's an exhausting day, tiring day. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, mind you, everyone's tired. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who will be one but the one to go and spy and to look onto the side of the Quraysh? And they will be my companion in Jannah. The Prophet said that who will go to become a spy and they'll be my companion in Jannah. Now everyone here, mashallah, you're saying, oh, definitely, why not? Okay? But you and I know this experience. When the fundraiser is going 1 hour and 30 minutes, you're like, Bichara needs to just stop talking now. This Ameen, Ameen, Ameen is not helping anymore. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, Sahaba, look, you have to give it to them. 6 days of building a trench, and they're all exhausted. It's legitimately exhausted. So no one says, yes, Ya Rasulullah, no one. Just everyone's so tired. Legitimately tired. The Prophet says it a couple of times, and no one's giving the answer, saying, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we'll do it. Okay, don't think you're any better than them. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Allah forgive us. Okay, mashallah, they were tired. So the Prophet says, okay, fine. If no one's going to raise their hand, what does the teacher do? I'll call on one of you. Okay, so now everyone is like, oh no, I'm not about this right now. We're not doing this right now. We're tired. So the Prophet is going by Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and everyone's just telling themselves, yeah, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. The Prophet goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And finally, he reaches one young man. What is this young man's name? Hudhayfa. And just to give you an idea, Hudhayfa is extremely special to the Prophet. Extremely special. He was someone who the Prophet said, you either haddathukum Hudhayfa fasaddiquhu. If Hudhayfa speaks to you, you trust whatever he says. Hudhayfa is so trustworthy. Well, he was going to go battle in Badr. He didn't battle in Badr. Why? Because when he was going from Makkah to Medina to help out the Prophet, the Quraysh stopped him and said, where are you going? He said, we're going to Medina. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, they said that you have to promise us you will not fight with the Prophet. We'll let you go, but you have to promise you won't fight with the Prophet. And Hudhayfa, he said, I don't know. And then they finally agreed. He agreed to it. So he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, O Messenger of Allah, ﷺ, they made us promise not to fight with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Nafi bi ahdihim wa nasta'inu billahi minhum. You know, alayhim. That, look, fulfill your promise. And so then he fulfilled his promise. This is in Badr, right? And what is the next battle? Uhud. In Uhud, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, his father goes out and fights on Badr. His father, Yaman, actually gets martyred by Muslims. Muslims end up killing him by accident. This is Yaman, who's the father of Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, such a great person. He says, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. May Allah forgive them for killing my father. He's the most merciful of those who have mercy. The Prophet says, look, there's 100 camels for you because they killed their father. 100 camels for you. Hudhayfa said, Ya Rasulullah, I make you witness that they're all sadaqah for the Muslims. I don't even want this. The Prophet loves Hudhayfa radiallahu so much because he was so intelligent. Such a smart person. He knows exactly what to say. And he's very obedient. The Prophet tells him something, he does it. This is the type of guy we're talking about. How trustworthy is he? The Prophet has to tell someone in the community about the names of the munafiqeen, the names of the hypocrites. No sahabi knows the names of the hypocrites. Only one person the Prophet trusted with the names. Who is he? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. The Prophet loves him this much. To the point Umar radiallahu anhu succumbed to Huzaifa and said, Huzaifa, can you check if my name is on there? You know, Ajib person. So Huzaifa knows. He's sitting there. He doesn't even have his own chadar. He has his wife's chadar. You know, they're tired. He said the chadar is so small, it doesn't even reach my knees. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to, I know, he's like, I knew the Prophet would come to me and ask me. I knew he was coming. It's his own words. Don't think I'm making it up. This is my own words, his own words. He said, I knew the Prophet would come and ask me. And then, you know, I was just trying my best to become as small as I can so the Prophet would not see me. Hatta taqasabtu, until I became as small as I could. The Prophet says, man anta, because it's dark, right? Who are you? He said, Huzaifa. And the Prophet says, Huzaifa. He's like, yes, Huzaifa, ya Rasulullah. And at that moment, Huzaifa, Prophet says, Huzaifa, I'm choosing you. Go there and become a spy. Sit amongst them and see exactly what's going to happen. And Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, I'm just scared if they catch me. I'm really worried about that. And so the Prophet said, Allah mahfazhu min bayni yadayhi, wa min khalfihi, wa an yaminihi, wa an shimalihi, wa min fawqihi, wa min tahtihi. Allah protect him from front, from back, from right, from left, from up and down. Who's going to touch you after that? Huzaifa radiallahu anhu hears the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, so he got up and he said, I was walking. And then and at that moment, I was feeling extremely cold because it's a cold night. I just told you, everything's freezing. It's winter time. The winds are going. And he said, I was feeling extremely cold and extremely nervous. Then the Prophet made the dua. He said, all my fear went away. And I felt like I was walking through a hot bath. The entire time, I felt completely warm. And the Prophet reminded me, before I left, he said, make sure, oh Huzaifa, don't cause any mischief, don't cause any difficulty there. So that way they come back and attack us. So don't do anything, okay? So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu goes, and he just sits. And again, all the lights are out. There's no lights. It's completely dark, pitch black. You know how dark it gets, right? When there's nothing. And the camels, everyone's restless. Now Abu Sufyan, he gathers all the soldiers he can. And Huzaifa's sitting there with them. He's just sitting there. He's with his chadar, sitting amongst everyone. Abu Sufyan, everyone is shivering. Everyone's cold. Everyone's tired. There's like a little flame. They're all trying to get heat from a little flame. And Huzaifa looks at this terrible situation. And then Abu Sufyan says, oh, everyone, I need to make sure there's no spies from Muhammad right now. Abu Sufyan's mad smart. He's really smart. He says, I need to make sure there's no spies from Muhammad right now. Everyone grab the person to your right and make sure, who is that person? Identify him. So now at this moment, you and I will panic. We're like, oh my God, they're going to check me. Oh, there's the quadruple S on my ticket. They're going to check me now. All the bags are going to be open. They're going to see all the pan and the kichuri and all the different stuff that I brought. SubhanAllah, you know, you get so nervous. Like, oh my God, they're going to check me now. Huzaifa is so smart. He's so smart. Before anyone touches him, he touches everyone around him. He's like, dum. He's like, who are you? And so the person on his right, he's like, I'm Muawiyah. Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan. He's like, I'm Muawiyah. And then the guy on the left, he's like, who are you? He's like, I'm a Bilas. He's like, okay. Now everyone, they're not going to check him anymore because he seems so confident. Mashallah. He became the TSA, you know? SubhanAllah. So, you know, and so Alhamdulillah, he's able to sit. Abu Sufyan starts to talk. And he starts to says, look, everyone, everything has been destroyed. All of our stuff has been destroyed. There's nothing else for us here. All the pots have been ruined. All the animals are restless. There's nothing else here for us. Abu Sufyan said, I don't know about any of you, but I'm packing my camel and I'm leaving right now. I'm done. I'm finished. So he said, if you all can do whatever you want, but I'm packing up and I'm leaving. So Abu Sufyan legitimately, he gets up and he walks out from the meeting straight up and he goes. He gets onto his camel or his horse or whatever. He starts to get on it. And Huzaifa sees at that moment that he has his bow and arrow with him. And he thinks that if I just shoot right now, I can kill the greatest enemy of Islam right now. But what did the Prophet tell him?
Don't create
any initiative. Don't create any difficulty. So that's why the Prophet chose him. Because he was so trustworthy. This is why he was known as Amanat. Someone who had Amanat, mashallah. Someone who trustworthiness. So then he puts his bow away. He says, no. So finally, Abu Sufyan leaves. Everyone starts to get on the camel, starts leaving. At nighttime in that freezing cold, they're all leaving and all heading out. From Medina, they're all heading out to Mecca and Ghatfan, and they're just leaving everyone. Huzaifa says, as soon as that moment ended, and I was feeling I was in a hot bath. At that moment, I felt everything start shivering. I felt extremely cold. And I went back and I rushed back to Medina, freezing now, subhanAllah, right? And I go inside the tent of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where did I find the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in? I find him in Salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is praying and making sure that everything goes well for Huzaifa. And so he's making dua. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finishes and he sees Huzaifa there. And the Prophet takes off the chadar from his own Mubarak back and puts it on Hudhayfa. And then he says, Hudhayfa, you did well. Take some rest. So he takes rest. And then, you know, he's sleeping the whole night. He's tired. You can imagine how exhausting this was, situation. Then the Prophet wakes him up first and says, Qum ya na'im. He says, oh, sleepyhead, get up. You know, sleepyhead, get up. The Prophet loved him so much, mashallah. So at this moment, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells all the soldiers, everyone get up and get going. We're all going to head back to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ starts making a dua, he starts making a dhikr very out loud. La ilaha illallah wahdu la sharika lahul mulku wal hamd wa lahu ala kulli shayin qadeer. And then the Prophet nasara abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda wa sadaqa wa'ada. There, jazakallah khairan. Allah Ta'ala has spoken, has fulfilled his promise. Nasara abda, he helped his slave. And then Hazam al Ahzaba Wahda, he has defeated the groups by himself. Allah took care of everyone by himself. So at this moment, mashallah, what I want to remind everyone, the Prophet says when he goes back and he makes an announcement to all the Sahaba, he says, oh Sahaba, we have seen now the extent of the Arab communities against us. No longer will Quraysh ever try this again. 10,000 soldiers, you think they can do it again? Never again. No one will ever even come back and never even dare to do this anymore. The Prophet said, enough with this defensive fighting. Enough for waiting for them to attack us. Now we will go and fight them. They will no longer fight us anymore. Because now we've seen how powerful they can get. We can handle this. The Prophet says, he makes this dua and he goes and he comes back. He comes back home. He starts to take off his armor and he starts to sit down and get ready. You know, just relax now. The Prophet says, he's visited by Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam says, oh, Messenger of Allah, what are you doing? He said, the Prophet said, I'm taking off my armor. He said, you're taking off your armor, but the angels have not taken off their armor. He says, get up and get ready. We have to go to Banu Qurayza now. Go and finish them now, which I don't have time to do right now. MashaAllah, and I need to give my own voice a rest. I want everyone to remember, inshallah ta'ala, that life goes through that difficulty. This is part of the life. Allah Ta'ala put us in the dunya with ease and difficulties, both of these things. And Muslim, mashaAllah, because you want a high place with Nabi alayhi salatu salam, you're not going to have everything easy peasy for you. There'll be difficult times. But know that the one who's watching is the one who took care of you in your mother's womb. Know that the one who's caring for you is the one who made sure that you grew up as a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. You have to pray two rakats to him and make dua to him. People just abandon the two rakats and they say, forget it. I tried, and I gave up. The Prophet said, every Muslim is certain of his dua being answered. Allah Ta'ala will answer his dua. Except the person who said, da'autu fa da'autu fa da'autu fa lam yustajab li. That I made dua, except for the person who says, I made dua, I didn't get an answer. And Nabi Sallallahu said, this person will never get an answer. You continue making dua because you see Allah that will help you from the light. He'll help you take care of your enemies for anyone. This is, mashallah, may Allah grant us all tawfiq and understanding. Allow us to become people that, mashallah, will take lessons from the seerah. And allow us to become people that, mashallah, we love the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we love the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah allow us to benefit tremendously from their lives and the way they live their lives, inshallah. Also, let's say, Muhammad, we'll make dua, inshallah. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تدخل قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله